let's pray together. God, we are so thankful. This is the day. We had it marked out on our calendars, circled it and put a line around it. Because this day, Lord, changed our lives forever. When we think about resurrection, it gives us hope. It reminds us that no matter what happens to us, it ain't over till you say it's over. Because you got up, Lord, it gives us the courage to fight on. An old song we sing in the church down here, Lord, it simply says, because you live, we can face tomorrow. Lord, some of our yesterdays tried to beat us down, but we thought about you. Some of our mornings were dark, scary, but we thought about you. And because you live, we have entered into this sacred place today. Because Paul reminds us that because of your resurrection, we've got one coming too. And God, that excites us. For we read the Bible, and we believe that it is true. Because the Bible said that the dead in Christ will indeed rise. And so, God, we've come today again full of expectation, hope, desire, dream, expectations. Because you kept your word, we know your word is true. And now, God, open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts ready to receive. Bring us close to fertile ground. Bring forth fruit, Lord, in our seasons. Lord, help me as I stand before this people behind this sacred desk. Make preaching easy. Lord, let your power be obvious. Every promise be fulfilled. We shall all remember that you get all the glory. You get all the praise. For if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, truly what would have become of us? Lord, have your way now. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, give God your best praise. Maybe it's just waving your hand. Maybe it's just standing on your feet. But come on and give God your best praise. Don't worry about your neighbor. Give God your best praise. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know what it took for you to get here. Give God your best praise. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Shout hallelujah. Shout glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't quit because they quit. Don't stop when they stop. You give him what you need to give him. Because you know what he gave you. Can't nobody do it like Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Grab your Bible. Turn on your smartphone. Turn on your tablets. Turn on your Kindle. And let's find Mark chapter 16. You don't have a Bible. There's one right there in front of you. Mark chapter 16. Mark is after Matthew. Just before Luke. Amen. Not everybody knows that. There ain't no need to be ashamed about that. Amen. Everything about life is learning. Everything about life. You didn't always know how to walk. Amen. You fell down a lot, didn't you? Amen. You didn't always know how to hold your knife, fork, or spoon. But you had to learn, didn't you? Amen. So find Mark chapter 16. And in reverence to the word of God, we ask that you would stand with us. And again, if it's difficult for you to stand, you don't have to. But if you're just being hard-headed, you might ought to. Amen. Mark chapter 16. Amen. Amen. My grandmother used to tell us all the time, Dr. Dixon, you better do what you can while you can. Because when you can't, you're going to wish you had. Amen. God bless you. Amen. All of us are standing. Mark chapter 16. We don't have to read a lot today. Mark chapter 16. Have you found it?
Amen.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I got it.
I got it.
Amen. I have a New Living Translation Bible. It may read a little different than your King James, but if you grab that one in front of you, it is a New Living Translation Bible. Amen. And I want you to come down to verse number 5 of Mark chapter 16, verse number 5. Mark 16, verse number 5. Amen. This is the word of God. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. Women were shocked. But the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. I want you to do me a favor. I don't ask for much, Brother Duff, around here. At least that's what I believe. But if you'll do me a favor on this Resurrection Sunday and fix a smile on your face. Smile like Art Linkletter's in the room. Well, if Art Linkletter in the room, that's bad. Right? Yeah. Smile like you're on candid camera. There you go. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
That ain't everybody. I said, look at your neighbor. Some of y'all looking at me. I ain't going nowhere. Not yet. I'll be going about 8 minutes, but right now I'm here. Look, smile. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. That's better. Pastor's going to preach. One more miracle. Amen. One more miracle. I am of the mindset that nothing is impossible for God. Historically, God has always seemed quite interested in his own reputation. Anyone who is going to guard one's reputation, it might ought to be that one. God has always taken special care in maintaining his integrity, his credibility, maintaining his own reputation. God said to Moses, I am that I am. Moses is in the midst of preparing to organize the largest exodus of humanity. And God forgot to give him a business card. And Moses knows that he must go back to Pharaoh's house. Moses understands protocol. Moses knows that when one comes and enters into the presence of dignitaries, you must have some sense of introduction. Moses is about halfway down Mount Sinai and recognizes that God did not give him papers or credentials. He turns around and goes back and said, God, when I get down to Egypt, they're going to ask me who sent me. And because I've got a felony charge outstanding, I'll need some reference point. And God looks at him and says, tell them that I am sent thee. And Moses said, that will be sufficient. Abraham and Sarah have been getting older day by day, and the days of delivery have long since passed her. And Sarah reminds Abraham that, Abraham, you said that God said that he would make you the father of many nations. Now, Abraham, I don't mean to start no trouble, but I did let you take our handmaid some years ago. Y'all had a child, and you know I got some kind of way about it, and I asked you to put that woman and that baby out. And you did. But that ain't my child. And so the angel of the Lord stops by and promises Abraham that he's going to keep the promise. And Sarah, eavesdropping, started laughing. The angel of the Lord heard her. And she said, I really didn't left you. It was Steve Harvey. I had TV on. But the Lord reminds her that nothing is impossible. And I want some of you to know, there's a little note I put here for you all who have been getting older day by day. You've been waiting on God to fulfill some promises in your life. You talked to God about a job a long time ago. You talked to God about healing your body a long time ago. You talked about God just about having a little peace in your marriage a long time ago. You asked God to be a fence all around you. You asked God to calm some troubled waters. You've asked God some stuff, and you reminded God that you did read Isaiah's letter when he said, they that wait upon the Lord. But you reminded God that, Lord, there's some stuff I'm waiting on. And I just want you to know that God keeps every promise. Some of us are in the room tonight, this afternoon rather, and we're sitting here now in a resurrection moment and dealing with dead things in our own lives. We're wondering, when will the joy come back? We're wondering, when will that feeling come back? And I'm here to tell you now that God keeps every promise. Now let me caution you, beloved God, because only two or three of y'all obviously believe that. But let me tell you something. You will never be able to hold God accountable to a promise if you won't talk to him. Y'all didn't hear me. You got to talk to him. Grandma said that just a little talk with Jesus will make everything, not something, not a few things, but God makes everything all right. I wish I had somebody. I wish I had somebody that could just testify along with me that God makes everything all right. And the reason why God does these things, the reason why God talked to Moses as he did and gave Abraham and Sarah a vote of confidence that they might hang on and endure, is because God is a promise keeper. Yeah, if there's any promise I want it to come from God. God is a promise keeper. And again, only look like nine of y'all know that. Everybody else just sitting here looking at me. I need some head to go up and down when I say stuff like that. Amen. When I say stuff like that, you ought to put your head up and down. You ought to wave at me or something. You know, let me know that I'm talking to folk that know what I'm talking about. God is a promise keeper. He said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, because I am that I am. God, promise keeper. You're living on promise right now. Amen. You ain't going to be able to get by with your good looks forever. Things going to start dropping. and running into each other, and just for men gonna fall off the shelf. Clairol ain't gonna be able to help you after a while. Amen. And you gonna find out that the only reason you live to get old is because God made a promise. I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, keep on living. Amen. Some of you young folks sitting up here signifying right now, you think you got it on. We were young too. We had hair and speed, and we could jump up and down, and we could shoot three-pointers from the four-point line, and we could throw a football the whole length of a field, and we could run upstairs. We didn't worry about the elevator. We ran upstairs, and we ran around the house, and we had all of that going. Now we just look outside and say, it's a good day. We look at tall buildings and say, y'all go ahead. I'll be here when you get back. We don't run no more. If a dog come, he might as well just go and bite us and get it over with. They don't run it no more. No. We don't shoot three-pointers. We don't even watch the Final Four because we get too excited. We just wait till the last two playing and wait 5 minutes before the game go off. You laugh at us now. But we're going to laugh at you too. But God is a promise keeper. I wake up every morning and I look in the mirror and tell him thank you. I look at my children and I tell him thank you. Look at my wife and tell him thank you. I look in the mirror and remember when the guy that looked back at me could see better than the guy I'm looking at. But I tell him thank you because his promise has brought me from a mighty long way. I didn't get here all by myself. God was ushering me along the way. He walks with me and he talks with me because he's a promise keeper. Yeah. And I'm working on it. And resurrection is a promise. I want to help some of y'all. I'm about finished. I want to help some of y'all to know that you ain't never had it this bad. You ain't never had it as bad as Jesus had it. Jesus had a tough week. We started out with him, Dr. Dixon, on last Sunday in the afternoon. We were shouting Hosanna and blessed be the one that comes in the name. Things looking pretty good for Jesus right along through there. If he had announced his candidacy for president, he probably would have won. Had a good day. Sunday was going along pretty good for Jesus. And then Monday came. And Jesus got in a little temple trouble. Went in there and turned over them people tables and threw folk out of the house. And you know, when that kind of stuff happening, you gonna get a reputation. In fact, Jesus kind of made some people mad. Some historians would suggest that it was that moment that they decided he got to go. And some of y'all sitting here looking at me now like y'all ain't never had no you got to go moments. Some of y'all ain't been put out, but you on the put out list. And some of y'all done some stuff. See how y'all looking at me? Thank you, Jess. Being honest, some of y'all sitting here, thank you, back there, I saw you. Some of y'all sitting here like y'all ain't never done nothing put out worthy. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus really did bring it on himself. He goes down and Tuesday, things start shaping up. He spends a little time, and we see him in full academia, teaching people and revealing the word, still being the Christ. Then Wednesday comes along and things are still looking halfway decent. But how many know that what it looked like ain't always what it is? Amen. I wish I had some folk in here that could just wave back at me that have been victims of I didn't see it coming. Yeah, didn't see it coming. We get to Thursday and we are invited to the grand splendor of the Passover meal. Amen. I thought I'd get more amens right there, Brother Duff, because church folk like to get invited to a meal, especially when there's wine at the table. Amen. Some of y'all look like you got a little wine in you. Not the crying kind, but how dry I am. No, don't sit here and signify. Maybe it ain't wine. Maybe you went a little deeper than that. Maybe you got a little hip and henny in your glass. Amen. Eric, where you going? Bring back one for me. Two cubes of ice only. But the reality for us is that Jesus on Thursday looks like things are kind of turning around. He's in good company. He's in the room with people he trusts. But again, I told you that sometimes things that look like ain't really what they is. Because Judas is in the room. Now, right along through here, don't look around. Don't look at nobody because they may think you're trying to say they're Judas. But how many know that you're going to need some Judases in your life? Yeah, you need somebody to turn on you that'll make you turn to God. Yeah, you need somebody that's going to betray you that'll make you trust God. Solomon said, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Some of y'all count on the wrong people too much. Some of y'all done let your business get out too much. That's why you on Facebook now, because you talk too much. But you need some Judases to make you trust God. Thursday evening, the meal is over and Judas has been bidded farewell. Isn't it wonderful how God dismisses even his enemies rather cordially? I'm about finished, but let me help you with that too. Some of y'all got to learn how to let people out your life with grace. Amen. You don't need to tear down and burn up every bridge. Folk do you wrong, bid them farewell, let them go ahead. But keep your dignity. Because sometimes the hand that hurts you, or the hand that's going to help you. Y'all ought to say amen right there. And then Friday comes. Friday, things really go bad for Jesus. He's arrested. And they carry him from courtroom to courtroom without even legal defense. We talk about Pontius Pilate, and we talk about governor, talk about Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin, the chief priest, and all of those who turned on him. And the interesting thing about Friday is that it does not really seem to rattle Jesus. You ever paid attention to the story? He really doesn't seem to be rattled too much. Let me give you all another pointer here. Some of y'all got to learn how to hold your peace. Some of y'all need to stop cussing folk out and stuff like that, and cutting people ties and scratching up folk cars and tearing up furniture that you helped pay for at one time. Locking people out the house and changing locks and all that stuff. Because you know 992 arguments, we just are fighting, but we're going to make up to break up. That's all we do. First you love me, then you hate me. That's a game for two. Oh, y'all ain't talking about that. But Jesus doesn't get rattled. I'm about finished. I'm going on about my business because all I got to do is get to the heroes part. Y'all ain't earning me no fast pace the way y'all looking at me. I probably could have got there, but the way that y'all looking at me, I'm going to take my time now. I was going home and fire up my grill, but no, I'm on slow roll now. It's too late. I'm going to do it anyway. But he does not lose it. Pilate tries to let him go. He really does. He realizes that maybe, just maybe, this is the King of the Jews. Herod's so busy trying to make friends with Jesus that he's trying to get Jesus to perform miracles and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus really ain't interested in that. He's got a destination in mind. And there's another bonus I want to give some of y'all. Stay focused. The reason why some of y'all keep falling behind and can't get nowhere and can't get ahead because you're so easily distracted. All the
takes is somebody to just say something or do something, and you forget what you're supposed to be doing. You forget that you're a child of God. You let people bring you down to their lowest levels and cause you to lose your integrity and lose your gift and lose your calling. Listen, you got to learn how to stay focused, baby. I grew up down in the South. Mother Duff, we had a little simple saying. Whenever folk got on your mind, you just say, I ain't studying you. Some of y'all need to practice that. Look at somebody you need to tell that anyhow. No, don't do it. Because some of y'all would have been all over the church. But Jesus ain't studying them. Because he's got a destination. And let me help you with this one. This is another bonus, and I'm about there now. Please understand, every one of you have a destiny. Yes, you do. Every one of you in this room, God has picked, planned, and plotted a special course just for you. Ain't nobody can walk a mile in your shoes. Nobody can get to where you supposed to be like you can, because God has preordained. He said, before you were in your mother's womb, I had a plan for you. He writes it in the book, Jeremiah. He said, I know the plans I have for you. They are wonderful plans. They are to bless you and to prosper you and make your life good. But you got to stay focused. See how y'all acting funny right there? I'd have been jumped up and down shouting if somebody told me that. I'd have got excited. In fact, I did. That's why I'm preaching now. Because my pastor looked me in my eyes when I was 11 years old and said, boy, you got something. I thought he knew I had stole something out of the church office back there. I was going to give it up, but after he started talking holy, I just took my hand out of my pocket. I thought the Lord had told him something. Amen. Sometimes you got to let folk finish their speech before you confess. But I sure finished it. Here it is right here, sir. Oh, some of y'all act like y'all ain't never stole nothing. And then comes the crucifixion. They took Jesus. And they beat him. For us. They beat him. They beat him bad. They were unkind to him. But he stayed focused. Every man in here who's ever grown a beard can tell you how painful it is to just try to pluck one gray hair. But they just grabbed a handful of his face and pulled at him. But he stayed focused. They put him on a robe and mocked him. Called him the King of the Jews. But he stayed focused. They took a bar, put it on his shoulders, and told him to carry it. And they kicked him and spit on him. But he stayed focused. How, you say, could he have stayed focused? He stays focused because he understands promise. And some of you, again, I just need to tell you, if you ever going to get out of the rut that you're in, if you ever going to be an overcomer, if you're ever going to be victorious, you've got to stay focused. You're better than that. You've got bigger things to do. You ought to be climbing Jacob's ladder instead of wallowing around in the gutter. You ought to be making a joyful noise instead of whining and complaining. You ought to be lifting up and magnifying rather than beating yourself down. You've got to remember God has a promise on your life. Don't ever forget. You are a chosen generation, a peculiar people. You come from the bloodline of kings and queens. You ain't no gutter trash. You ain't no scutter. You are a child of God. You got royalty in your life, and you ought to live up to your calling. Stop hanging around deadbeat folk who don't want nothing. Stop hanging around folk that just take until you got nothing left, and then they try to take that too. You are a child of God. Nudge your neighbor and say, I'm going to live better than that. You can't live beneath your privilege. Expect to get to the grand place. Jesus is now on Calvary, and he dies. Yeah, he died. Don't listen to them bucket heads who talking about he just passed out and he didn't really die. Yeah, he died. You know why he died? He had to die. You know why he had to die? So we can live. You ought to tell him thank you right long through there. He died so you can live. He died so you can live. He died so you can live. And if you're living, you ought to stand up and tell him thank you. You ought to wave your hands and tell him thank you. Because he died. He sacrificed his life. And you ought to be glad that he did. All right, I'm about ready. About ready. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. This is what we've been waiting on, Mother Duff. You can go back to St. Louis. Go back there and tell them, boy, that preacher up there is something. Here it is. One more miracle. One more miracle. And that's really what's going to change the game. That's what some of us waiting on right now. Just one more miracle. We don't need a dozen of them. We don't need a dozen. We really just need one more miracle. And I know some of y'all are sitting there scratching your head, talking about, well, what was the first one? Well, you've had several of them, really. Yeah, you've had several. When you popped out of mama and they slapped you, that was the first miracle. That you hadn't done. But if you back up a little bit, it was when mama said, I don't feel good this morning. That was a miracle. And them 9 months that she carried you around living inside a fluid sack and not drowning, that was a miracle. Yeah, eating and not even having a fork or a spoon, that was a miracle. Fingers growing and nails growing, coming out with all of your parts, that was a miracle. Yeah, yeah. A little bit of hair on your head, a bald head, that was a miracle. And then you started talking. That's a miracle. The fact that you can crawl and then walk, that was a miracle. The fact that you lived and others died, that was a miracle. You didn't get polio or diphtheria or you didn't have autistic concerns. That was a miracle, and you sit here in the house of God with your old miracle-laden self, and you can't thank him and give him praise. What you really ought to do is think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done, and you ought to shout, thank God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're sitting next to a miracle. Because grandma was right, I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave, but he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. I am a miracle. Because some of us know, if we'd have kept smoking what we were smoking and snorting what we were snorting and drinking that bathtub gin, you know a little bit about it, drinking that hooch, amen, driving with one eye open and one eye closed, falling up the stairs, you are a miracle. See how y'all acting funny like that? I just need one more miracle. And here it is, Jesus is dead. Whole town is quiet now. Everybody's going to bed, you know. Sometimes when bad things happen, we figure we go to sleep, that's going to change something. Any of y'all ever done that? You tell yourself, this got to be a dream, so I'm going to go to sleep and wake up and everything going to be all right. I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm not going to be laying up in this hospital with my hand behind my back unintentionally. Amen. I'm going to wake up in the morning and not be fired because I cussed Mr. Charlie out yesterday. Amen. I'm going to wake up in the morning and my wife going to be back who put up with me all them years and finally had enough. I'm going to wake up in the morning and my child that cussed me out is going to say, I'm sorry. Y'all ain't talking to me. You just need to realize that sometimes when you go to bed, when you wake up, it ain't going to be no different. When they went to bed, Jesus was dead. And so Mark says, I'm in the text now. Mark says that they went to the tomb. That's a logical thing to do because when people die, we tend to want to go by the cemetery. I'm not one of those who like to go more than one time. I'll go and drop you off, but I'm not going to come out there after that. Amen. Miss Mitchell, when you go on, the children will bring you some flowers. But I'm not a cemetery dweller. I tend to like to hang around folk who can talk back to me. But they go to the tomb, Brother Duff, and here it is, Lewis, we're gone, we're gone. They get there, and Jesus is gone. Now, see, this is bizarre because if we left you at cemetery, we pretty much got a right expectation that when we come back, you ought to be there. Now I don't know about you, but I do intend fully that when I die, I'm going to try to get up. If for no other reason, just to scare some people, especially my kids. I want them to be at the bank getting ready to cash the check, and I'm going to say, hey, what are you doing? But they go to the cemetery. I'm done. They go to the cemetery. And Jesus ain't there. Now, Melvin, I don't know what these women were like. I don't know what Mary and Salome and them were like. I don't know what kind of character they had. But if I went to the cemetery and Jesus wasn't there, I'm going to say something. And they're going to have to get that little beep thing ready. Because Jesus is supposed to be in there. And he ain't there. They forgot that God is a God of promise. They forgot that God is a manifester of miracles. They go to the tomb, what they should have did, was went down there with some party favors to celebrate that he ain't there. Because if they know, like we know, he ain't supposed to be in there. He's supposed to have gotten up. He was supposed to get up early. He was supposed to rise with all power. He was supposed to be on his way to Galilee. He was supposed to be bringing back the keys from hell. He was supposed to be pronouncing himself risen because God is a God of promise. And I need you to understand right now, no matter your mess, no matter your trouble, no matter your heartache, God's got one more miracle. And it's got your name on it. And some of you that laid down last night with death concerns and deathly issues and deathly matters, baby, just wait on God, because when he shows up, he'll show out, and what lay down, he lifts up, and what he lifts up will live forever. You ain't dead yet, but God's got a miracle. Watch this. Here it is, Addison. What you need to understand about obtaining your miracle is this, that in order to secure eternal life, get ready, you got to surrender earthly life. Here's what Jesus understood. Now watch this. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, no one can take my life. I have decided that I will sacrifice it. And here's what he said. I'll just lay it down. Can I help some of y'all right here? Some of y'all got your focus on the wrong thing. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what Grandma and them said. Build your hopes on things. Y'all ain't talking to me. See, let me tell you why, see why nobody didn't get hot right there. No, nobody didn't get happy right there. Because you stuck on earthly things. But if you build your hopes on things eternal, you got to lift your eyes and be lifted up. Because when you lift up the King of Glory shall come in. Anybody need a little Jesus in your life? Lift up the King of Glory and the King of Glory. You got to let go of some things. The song they sang said, when I gave it up, that's when he blessed me. When I let it go, when I stopped worrying about it, God did some stuff. And if you want to really have eternal life promise, you got to let go of earthly concern. Jesus said, ain't nobody going to take this. He said, I'm going to lay it down. And you know why he can lay it down, Lewis? He said, because I got the authority to pick it back up. Hallelujah. Second thing is, understand that what resurrection also teaches us, and this is critical, that whatever you surrender in Christ, you can reclaim the same through Christ. Oh, okay, y'all missed that. See, in the old days, can I old days and then we gone? In old days, folk would give their children to God. They came to the church and stood right in front of the church and said, Lord, take this child. And they knew then when you whatever you give to God, you could always reclaim through God. I came in last time we had a Christian ceremony or a child surrendered, and I know now why so many bad children in the school. I know why so many bad children stand on the corner with their britches hanging off of them. I know now why so many of them cuss you out when you just say, how you doing? Don't worry about me. Because nobody's giving them to God. And if you don't give them to God, you can't take them from God. Not take them in the way of taking, but realizing that whatever you give to God, he sanctifies. He makes holy. He consecrated. I don't know about you, but I want my children to be holy, sanctified, and consecrated. Because the Lord will order their steps. The Lord will be a fence. The Lord will be a hedge. When you turn it over, Jesus said, I've done nothing. Nothing, N-U-T-T-I-N, nothing. But what my Father told me to do. Why? Because I belong to him. When he released me, I know he's going to take me back. Watch this. If my mother and father forsake me, it is the Lord who will take me up. See what I'm talking about? See how quiet? Nobody didn't even know that verse. See how nobody didn't holler that? Because y'all don't know that. That's resurrection life. Turn it over. Here it is. He said, come here, Paul. I'm going. Paul says, well, what you need to understand here about real resurrection in reality terms, here and now terms, is right in the Corinthian letter. Paul says it is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Same thing happened to God. Same thing happened to Christ. And this is what he said. Our earthly bodies must be planted in the ground. And when they are planted, when we die, they will be raised to live forever. Can I tell you what grandma didn't say? Grandma didn't say, I want to be at the meeting. When all the saints have gathered, you know why they know that? Because they know they're going to be raised to live forever. And a whole lot of us sitting here now don't realize that all you got to do now to secure your business with God, that's what you send old church mama. You say, got your business straight with God. Not your neighbor and ask them, how's your business with God going? They didn't say nothing. My mama said, you got to get your business straight with God, because when you get your business straight with God, you'll never go out of business. God will always make a way somehow. God will always be a bridge over troubled waters. God will always give you one more miracle. You can be like that widow in Zarephath, and you can be down to your last corner of meal and your last little bit of oil, and God will always make it. Every time you reach in, you can bring some more out. Every time you reach in, you can bring some more out. Every time you reach in, you can bring some more out. Why? Because God will supply all of your needs. gone. They're looking for Jesus, the living among the dead. If you miss me from singing down here, and you can't find me nowhere, come on up, round glory. That's where I'm going to be. Look at the name, say, neighbor, I got my business straight. So if you miss me from preaching down here, and you can't find me nowhere, come on up, round. Look at another name, say, neighbor, I got my affairs in order. If you miss me from singing down here, and you can't find me nowhere, come on up, round glory. Look at another name, say, neighbor, I dotted my I's and crossed my T's. I put my faith in God. Therefore, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got a building. Woo! I got a building not made by hands. This old building keep on leaning. I got to move out of here, but I got somewhere to go. I got somewhere to be. God has made me a place. I heard him say, listen, don't worry about nothing. I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you can be also. I said that where I am, there you can be also. The reason Jesus is not in the tomb is he's in the preparatory phase. He's fixing up our room. He's laying out the furniture. He's putting everything just right. So when we get there, the writer says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining light. Y'all ain't talking to me. Because the Lord is in the preparatory phase. But not only is he in the preparatory phase, I feel my help coming now. He's in the praise phase. That's why he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I got to get out of the grave. I got to come up, because there's a whole lot of folk waiting to see my face. Oh, I want to see him. I want to look upon his face. Anybody want to see him? Anybody want to see him? Anybody got an expectation? Because if you lift up your praise, if you shout like you lost your mind, if you jump up and down every now and then, if you wave your hands, you'll get God's attention. He said, I see him. You're sending up your timbers. You're sending up your prayers. You're building your mansion. You're climbing Jacob's ladder. But I know somebody who got up out of that grave. I know somebody who didn't die and stay dead, because the old preacher would say it like this, Brother Doug. Early one Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave. Didn't he do it, church? Didn't he rise? Didn't he get up? I said he got up early. He took my sins and cast them away. He washed me in the blood of the Lamb. Anybody been washed? Anybody been washed? Oh, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He made me whole. He made me new. I feel my grandma's spirit. Grandma said, I looked at my hands and looked, they look new. I looked at my foot and they did too. Anybody feel new? Won't he make you new? Won't he make you clean? Won't he make you whole? Can you tell him thank you? Can you say yeah? Get up, Jesus. Get up, Jesus. We're waiting for you. We need your gospel. We need a healing. We need your deliverance. We need your power. We need your praise. We need you, Jesus. Rise, Jesus. Rise, Jesus. Rise, Jesus. Rise, Jesus. One more miracle, and I believe I can make it. There's one more miracle. Fix it, Jesus. Can't nobody do it but you. He ain't there. Ain't no need to have no memorial every year down at the tomb. You ought to be standing at heaven's gate shouting Jesus. Shouting Jesus. If I need one more miracle, turn my life around. The old things have passed away. All things are new. Oh, he died. Yeah, he died. But he didn't stay dead. Miss Scott, don't pass out. I put that in there just for me. He got up. And he's making preparations for us. Remember what he said? He said, tell my brothers to meet me in Galilee. That's preparation, God. On the road to Emmaus, he runs into these brothers and they're somber and carrying. They're 7 miles out of the city. And here's what they got smart with Jesus, Vicky. Jesus walks up and they said, are you the only stranger in town that don't know what happened here? Which proves he's a poised Jesus. He says, what things? Now, you know when it didn't happen to you, and they say, what thing? That's poise right there. And Jesus keeps talking to them, and he reminds them. He said, you know, you all got to get yourself together. Don't y'all remember the scriptures? And see, some of y'all church folk, I can see the way y'all looking at me. Y'all can't remember them because you ain't never met them. See how quiet y'all got right there? If I was in there, I'd have thrown the Bible at the preacher right along through there. Reverend, you don't know like I know. But he's also a God of pathways. I wish I had time to preach all I want to put on. But he's a God that said, just come on, go with me to my Father's house. Because in my Father's house, just come follow me. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And Jesus says, come on. And reality for us is, Jess, here's a little song. It's going to take a miracle. Yeah. Some of y'all, the way y'all looking at me right along through here, you need Jesus. Yeah, you need him. You don't nobody look at no neighbor right along through here. I got this one by myself. Some of us sitting here right now ain't going to come back until we need a miracle. Some of us got to get cancer before we come back to the preacher. Some of us going to have to get divorced and bankrupt before we come back to the preacher. But if I were you, I'd invest in my miracle right now. I would give my life to Jesus, who is life. You know, certain people you hang around because of reputation. And let me tell you why I hang around Jesus, because I figure if he can get himself up, he can sure enough get me up. If he can lay it down and pick it up like that, I'm going to hang out with Jesus. I have decided to make Jesus my choice. We're in trouble, church. I'm done. That's my 22 minutes. Yeah, we're in trouble because some of us old saints remember that we'd pack the church on Resurrection Sunday. Jesse, I came around the corner this morning and it broke my heart. I prayed half the night. I really did. I sat up intentionally praying, God, send your people. They need you now. If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. The internet is making us crazy. People put all their business on Facebook and wonder why their relationships are bad. People don't even know you and your woman fighting. They don't even know you and your man ain't getting along. You don't need to tell everybody where you are and what you're doing. And quit posting live videos and looking like a buckethead. You need to keep your business. Mama says, keep your business. Then you wonder why folk are all rushing up on you and all that kind of stuff. You talk too much. And then you want to post scriptures. 3 posts earlier, you cussing everybody out. Then you want to post your daily meditation. Ain't nobody buying that. We need Jesus. Yeah? We need Jesus. We just packed the church. Came in, sit in the house of God, and we worship. If there's any Sunday, we used to, as we sit down south, get it in, it was Easter, Mother's Day, and Christmas. Now, people don't even come to church with their mama no more. reason why half y'all ain't speaking to your mama. She did me wrong. Let me tell you, my mama can do anything and none of it ain't wrong. Because that's my mama. I respect her. She don't owe me nothing. She could have aborted me and I'd have never been me. Oh, she's something else. No. Oh, yeah. You're right. Thank God she ain't got podcasts. But that's my mama. And some of y'all have proven you don't know Jesus. Honor thy father and mother, and your days will be long. Respect your elders. Give honor to those whom honor is due. That's good Christian living. Some of us ain't coming back until Tabibo dies. We're going to all go out and print t-shirts and all that crazy stuff and go to the funeral. Go down in the church kitchen and eat up all the church food and won't even come back to church that next Sunday. When Shanika want to get married, we're going to call the church and ask them, can we use y'all church because it's pretty. We like y'all ambiance. And I asked her, I said, well, are you saved? What that got to do with it? We just want to get married. Go see the judge then. Marriage is of God. See how quiet everybody getting? We ain't come back to church to somebody getting married, and we're going to dress to the nines. Come around to church and don't even understand what the preacher's saying. When grandmama died, we're going to fall up in the church, knocking flowers over, screaming and hollering, come back, big mama. Big mama been trying to get you to come to church when she was alive. So you can sit with her and she can be proud. You remember how old folk be proud when all their children say, my grandmother, we took up 5 pews in the church. And when they do that little family roll call, grandmama said, Brother Pastor, just want to have the children stand up today. Stand up, babies. And man, we stand up and we sound like an army. And preacher said, Sister Williams, you got right many of them there. She said, oh, that ain't all of them, Reverend. Working on some of them. But she'd be so proud, and we get home, that's an extra piece of chicken right there. Grandma said, y'all made me look good today, baby. Come on here and get this here wing. You moved up from foot to wing that Sunday. But look at us now. Some of us, when our family members walked in, we were shocked. Y'all didn't think I was going to put that in the sermon, did you? I had it in there. When it happened, I said, Lord, you sure, I'm glad you told me to put that in there. Your mama and daddy got to turn around and go. You thought because you were laying in the cut and then showed up, that was a big deal. No, you don't need to be laying in the cut. You should have drove mama to church. Bought her some breakfast. See how quiet everybody getting right along through that? Don't miss your miracle. I know you're mad at me now. I see the way you look at me, young man. Don't make me meet you outside. No, I ain't looking at nobody. I'm just listen to me. Jesus died for you. We're all sinners. We're all struggling. Amen. Everybody in here right now that recognize that you are a sinner and in the midst of a struggle and salvation is only of God, raise your hand. Amen. See, that's everybody. Now, it's about 12 people didn't raise their hand right there. But let me tell you something. Nobody can do you like Jesus. The Lord wants to save you. And this is a good day. I'm done. Let me see. This is a good sign right here. When you see me do this, that usually means I'm about through with it. See right there when both of them close. That's a good sign. Amen. Now let me help you with this. We gone. We done. But let me help you with this. Jesus died. Got out of the tomb because he understood the assignment. Here's what we do. We go all the way back to Jesus' introduction in the Gospels. And here's what John says. Everybody ready for this? Here's what John says. I probably could have read that and missed and been done. John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Told you God had a plan. God had a plan to take away your sins. And I just wondered today, as we're rising, getting ready to go, that when you stand up, that means you almost gone now. Rise, stand up. Now, if you don't stand up, I can open this back. You're on a time limit. You almost missed your mom. Amen. We're standing. Now, if you don't stand up, you can stay, but you'll be here by yourself, because I'm leaving. But here's what I need you to understand. If you're standing on your feet today, you're alive. Now here's what I want to tell you. Romans 3 says this, that the wages of sin. Okay, so some of y'all read that. What does it say? The wages of sin, but the. There you go. There you go. So y'all got that. Okay, so if you are standing in this room and have the soundness of mind, you can think for yourself. And you know that your business with God, Miss Scott, don't pass that. I know it's business, but I'm preaching to black folk. Have to stay bonic sometimes. If you know your business ain't straight with God. Now, we just said it together. We just harmoniously spoke scripture into your life. We said that the wages of sin is, but the is. All right. Now, we spoke earlier. Thank you. I was going to add that. We spoke earlier and said that all have sinned. So we need a change of venue. We need something to happen. We need Jesus to give us one more miracle. We have lived all of these days up until the present moment. Why? Because God has for you one more miracle. He can save you. And you'll be saved. Now again, you standing here looking at me and I'm looking at you. I know I'm saved. I'm not perfect. I tried perfect. Kept messing it up. I figured I better leave that alone and just do the best I can. But I know I'm saved. Know why I'm saved? Because I confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart. I met the Roman standard. And all I'm saying to you today, young man, young woman, mama, grandmama, granddaddy, don't leave this room without your business straight. Jesus died. Behold the Lamb of God. It takes away the sins of the world. You can be saved. Right now, this ain't got nothing to do with the mourner's bench. This ain't got nothing to do with how many times you can run around the church and keep your breath. No, this is simply about you saying, you know what? That preacher right. I need to get my business straight. Because you can be here today and gone this afternoon. You ain't got to be old to die. No. You ain't got to be sick. You ain't got to be poor. You can be doing just fine. Saved folk going to die too. But we got a verse for that too. That the dead in Christ. When we die, we know what's going to happen to us. Don't worry about me. You go to my funeral and walk by that box, that's just what's left. I'm waiting now. Amen. So I want to give you an opportunity so we can go home wherever you're going. I know all y'all don't go home when y'all leave here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brother Duff, they don't go home. No, it's some shenanigans when some folk leave church. But I want to give you a chance before you go today, especially on Resurrection Sunday. Give your life to Christ. He died. He ain't there. He got up, went on. And now he's waiting for us. Amen. The Revelation letter says that they're going to come in a great number. John is standing there on the parade field and all them folk coming and the angel of the Lord looks at him and said, now John, who are these folk? He said, sir, you know. The angel said, you got that right. These are they that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Anybody washed their robes yet? I'm ready. Get your business straight. If you're standing in this room today, we're ready to go. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, you ought to come. You ought to tell some people to get out your way because you got a matter of importance to take care of. Don't think to yourself, well, I'll just come back next Sunday. No. You
Y'all come right now. Right now. While the blood is running warm in your vein, while people are looking at you. Let them see you. Let them see you. They're going to look at you one way or the other anyhow. I would give my life to Jesus today. I would do it right now. If there's one young man, a young woman, if there's one mom, a dad, a family, I'd come right now. I'd make my way. You don't have to join Greater Brookville Church. You just first ought to give your life to Christ. I go to funerals over and over again and read those obituaries, and I cringe when I read these words. Join the church at an early age. That don't save you. I know people join the YMCA and can't swim. Amen. I know people who join cook clubs can't cook. You need to get saved. I've only read a few obituaries where it said, gave their life to Christ. Some of y'all sitting here right now making a note, when I die, put in my obituary. Yeah. But don't think when I read it, I won't know the difference. Because some folk, I don't find out they're supposed to be in the church till I see them at the grave. You know, I'm like, they belong to the church. What? You know, you go down to a funeral home and meet your members, that's a bad place. So give your life to Christ today. Are you here? All right, here's my last request. We'll be gone because I'm tired. If you are saved, I want you to just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Let me see. All right. You know what I say to you who just raised your hand? I hope some pastor, some preacher, see you in church next Sunday. Lifting up and magnifying the name of the Lord, because that's what saved folk do. Amen. We're getting ready to go. Thank you so much again. Thank you, Brother Tyler, Melvin, Jonathan, Brother Duff. Thank you, man. You are a blessing to the kingdom of God. Your wife is going to put one more dumpling in your chicken today. You are good to go, my friend. Yes, sir. You have a biscuit with your name on it. Amen. Giblets and gravy. Amen. We need to pray our way out today. I need to ask you to pray with us. We got people who have things going on in their lives, and there's some good reports, but we want you to pray today. I want you to grab somebody by the hand and ask them to take a little walk with you as we pray our way out in the garden today. Sister Lolita Penn is on our mind today. Sister Erna Royal. Sister Amanda McCoy's son, I'm informed, was involved in a motorcycle crash. And his name is Tim. So we need to lift Tim up in prayer. I understand it's rather critical. He's been flown to UVA. Treatment, and so we want to lift him up. Sister Sherry Richburg, who is the mother of Sister Adrian Brody and the grandmother of Jasmine and Makai and Elizabeth's mother-in-law, and she has been a patient at UVA, went through a rather difficult experience. They amputated her entire leg, all the way up to the hip. That's a journey, y'all. And so we certainly want to keep Sister Sherry in our prayers. Want to keep Sister Louise Poe's son. He's a minister, lives down in Tennessee Way. And keep him in our prayers. Somebody else, I can't remember everything. Come on, y'all, help me. Who's that, Jess? Oh, God knows, absolutely. You spoke as a prophet there, yeah. Somebody else, I was asked to pray for somebody else. I know her brother and father are coming along. Who's that? Oh, yeah, she's strong, though. Amen. She's the testimony of that statement that we hear in the church, Brother Duff, that she don't look like what she's been through. She don't look like what she's been through. God has been good to her. Amen. She still got a little something going over there, too, huh? That almost went club right there. Easy now. Hold on. That almost went phase two. Amen. But we want to, Brother Thomas, that's who it is. Brother Thomas, his brother-in-law, Brother Wiley, want to keep him in our prayers. He has also suffered the loss of a limb. But people need our prayers, y'all. They really do. And do me a favor. When you tell people you're praying for them, please pray for them. Donna's mother, how's mama coming? Very good. Amen. We're so glad to have you in our family, Donna. You're really a blessing. Keep Brother Anderson is still on deployment. And I saw Sister Anderson come in this morning with a new dress on. And I said, Brother Anderson is away and you're spending all the man money. And she said, well, I got to do something to feel good. I said, all right. But she looks nice. Thank you. And our young soldier here, very proud of you, man. Amen. You scared? I said, take your weapon back then. Well, we're proud of him. I know mom and dad are proud of him as well. And I remember being his age and going into my military career. He can probably outrun me now and all that kind of stuff. But, man, enjoy it. Military is a good place to start. If you're not really sure what you want to do, they'll take care of some schooling for you. They used to have a real good GI Bill, man. You can go to school for nothing. Y'all don't get that same version anymore. But, man, back in the day, man, we get 100% of everything. Yes, sir. Yeah, man, you get college. Yes, sir. School, books, everything. Y'all, I think the Montgomery version is about 70%, 30%, and it deteriorates over time. But, see, you should have been born earlier. But God bless our soldiers as well. Amen. Kevin, good to see you, man. Absolutely good to see you. Amen. Got the family there. Pretty picture. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Lucille. God bless her. Lucille's doing very well. Doing very well. Amen. Doing well. Sister Nowlin, God bless her. Doing very well. We are so proud of our children. Amen. Amen. And my favorite saint in the church is Miss Woodson. Always good to see Miss Woodson. No, Jess. No. It's Miss Woodson. It's Miss Woodson. I love Doris Woodson. She has a spirit that is so consistent. She takes a compliment well, and when she's ready for you to move on, she'll tell you, all right, you can go ahead now. You ain't gonna waste her time. She'll just say, thank you, Reverend, you can move on. There are other people to go talk to. But I love her. Love all of you. That hand you're holding is important. That's a critical ministry that God has trusted you with. Nothing is by happenstance. Everything that you're doing right now is ordered by God. The person that's standing next to you is supposed to be standing next to you. That's how God is. There's no happenstance. All of our steps are ordered by God. Everything is in plan and purpose, covered by promise and providence. So that hand is your ministry. Make your calling and election sure. Squeeze it a little bit and tell them, I got this. God trusts you. Touch that hand today. You know why? Because the Bible said, touch not mine anointed. So see, if God didn't want you to touch that hand, you couldn't touch it. But because you're standing around all this anointing, God said, now hold on to him. Amen. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Amen. I always got to get my musical acuity straight. When this preaching thing don't work out, I'm going straight to Comedy Central. Amen. And I'm going to joke the church all the way till they pay me. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much. I want you to be lighthearted today and enjoy your family. When you leave here, enjoy your family. Be very careful. Watch those children. I saw a former football player ran over his three-year-old child in the driveway just moving a truck. Watch them babies. They don't know. They think everything is just nothing. You know, they don't know. You got a pool and you done put water in it, for God's sake, watch them children. And don't leave guns laying around. Some boy killed himself down in Atlanta on Snapchat playing with a gun, and the boy died live streaming. Don't, please, put them guns away. Amen. Watch your children. Knives and hot plates and all that. Oh, my Lord, watch your children. I know I'm lucky to be alive. I was a rascal. I did everything they told me not to do. Amen. They said, don't touch the hot stove. I turned it on and made it hot. Amen. Don't run across the street. I ran anyway. I figured cars got brakes. They ought to see me, you know. Amen. God, you're so wonderful. Thank you for these people all around this room. Our brothers and sisters need our prayers. And there are many names that have been lifted up. And even now, people are thinking about their relatives and their sons and their daughters and their families. God, do what you do. In hospitals and nursing homes and on beds of affliction. Soldiers and sons and daughters, airmen, marine, coast guard, all of them, Lord, they're doing a great work protecting our borders. Lord, they need our prayers. Our president seems to think that conflict is a game, and so our sons and daughters may be in harm's way any day now. And so God, we need you to watch over them. We know you do, but we want to lift them up. And like I said, Lord, they're family members.